Okay. Any question? Question? None. So what? What are we doing here? Reading book three. What is book three about? Could you tell me? Once in a while, we need to go back.
It says enrichment.
Enrichment means.
Sort of discerning, too.
Means what? Means I'm trying to get rich in this wisdom. Right? Okay. What should I do? What are the keys? Main stuff. Do you remember how he started the book three? Do you remember a very long paragraph explaining the beginning? Then immediately it was the story of
young elephant.
Don't eat the young elephant. Means do not go for big words and talking about this. This is something which should happen inside. So you should first of all learn not to eat, to have a diet, because your brain is telling you more is better. Here we don't say that. Here quality has no up and down and percentage and thing like that. It's not relative what we are talking about. So the first long story was do not follow the promises, because promises are always out there. Nobody brings a flag with let be nasty. Everybody will say let be good. Whatever they want to do, they name it good. You should understand that. The general direction is what? You. What is general direction? From peasantry to civilization. Don't go back. Back needs you. We've come today. Do you remember the peasant? That's a backward thinking. So be civilized. Look at the people. Study them carefully. That was the first main stuff, right? Then, is it? But, because I said all that, suddenly all your attention jumped out towards judging the others. Remember one point we made. It's about you, not the others. When we say others, we don't mean judge them. We just say do not follow them. Because we talked book two, remember? A very serious subject, which is imitation. Said, you're not supposed to imitate. You're supposed to think. That's the way that you could be accountable. So, let's go back to the main enemy. The ego, the Pharaoh. What was this story of Pharaoh about? Because we know that the story of Moses and Pharaoh is long and vast and very sophisticated. We hear just one part of it, which is not the famous part. Nobody heard about it, but we hear about it. So we have to pay attention. What did he say in the part of the Moses story? There was one subject. He said, remember, it's the main subject is learn how to enrich yourself, right? And first I told you there are some stuff that you should avoid. Fake promises are always there. But the main stuff is here we talk against intelligence, right? But to a degree, intelligence has a place. Is it? Let me tell you about science. Science is serving intelligence. So science, for us, is out of here. We are talking beyond that logic, right? But this doesn't mean that the science is completely out. There is exceptional science, which is helpful to us, and we have to take care of it. Do you remember that kind of science? Oh, you're lost in the stories, maybe you don't remember. We are talking about two sorcerers. That was the main subject over there. After the conflict of Moses and Pharaoh, he said, okay, Pharaoh wants to buy time. To do what? To use the science against this. Means your ego tends to buy some time to bring some logical stuff in. And he would be successful because a lot of logical stuff are his. But there are exceptions. The exception are those guys who go and ask the mother and consult with the grave of a father to learn what? To learn a simple test. Simple test was, their father said, if you could steal his reasoning, do you remember the stake is the reasoning? He said, if you could steal his reasoning, he's no good. Because the guy we are talking about has some special reasoning, not the normal one, right? So these two guys, they even give their life for Moses. So remember that exception, okay? Then what? Said, okay, if we agree upon all of this and you remember it all, then you should know about next step. First step was, do not follow everyone. Second step was that, do not condemn everything. When it comes to the science, there are part of it that it's your friend. The third part, what are you wishing for? Prayer. What your goal is, what do you want? In what you want should be like a glass of lovely good wine. Of course, with no spit in it. That's a rule. That was Dabuqin. Precisely told you that, listen, step by step you're going forward. This action should narrow all the personal wishes, because we want the personal wishes to disappear. He explained some silly stuff. Even somebody asked someone, how do you do? He said, oh, lovely, because everything is according to my wishes. I said, how come? Oh, my wishes are his wishes, and his wishes is happening. So, it's all my wishes. What all this means, really? Okay, it's romantic, it's beautiful, it's a good practice, but what does that mean? You are not supposed to forget that. We are trying to become we. That was book two all about, right? For becoming we are trying to eliminate me, that capital I, so I could think of myself a part of we. Therefore, I don't have any personal request here, because I'm not looking for a little joy and satisfaction of the animal. I'm looking for beauty, which is shaping the future and is changing everything, including me. That's what I'm looking for, right? That was the story of Dhamma. Then somehow we continued that story. He gave us a hint. You started this story before with one paragraph which said nothing, which was a silly one, remember? There is this guy who is asking the God that, okay, I'm lazy, you make me lazy, give me my food. It started comic like that, remember? And he left it alone. Why? Because of the explanation of Dhamma, that precisely explaining why. Of course, if you're walking in the street and you see someone falling down, okay, you think of helping it. But when you're in that stage, you're not supposed even to do that. This is the giving up, precisely what we mean. We mean the absence of me. Even that seeker me, remember Dhamma was a good seeker, right? Even that should go away. How? When you have only one wish, somehow it works. That's the story we are in. The guy with one wish only, he's talking to him and asking him whatever he wants. He never asked for something, remember? That is the story. This is the beginning of something. The guy had killed the cow. Okay, the quote-unquote owner of the cow went to David, and David did what a logical fellow should do. He condemned him. Remember? He said, come on, bring in some documents. Did you inherit this? Did you buy it? Did you find it? What's it going on? He prayed to God. He didn't answer to David. David went home to see what's up. Why? Isn't David a prophet? Was it questionable if he will say, when he arrived to David, David knew everything and told the other guy, you shut up. Would it be a surprise? Normally it should work like that. But that is the trick in these stories. I always repeat, look at Moses.